Good morning, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. My name is Chris Reeves, the host of the program, brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for being with us. We always appreciate your interest in spiritual things, where you tune in and open your Bible, and we study from God's Word. This morning, I want to begin a series of lessons that I hope will be beneficial to all of us. I want to look at great Bible stories. These stories might be familiar to you, those of you who have read your Bible for a long time, and so these stories will be a review. These stories might be new to you if you're not as familiar with God's Word as you would like to be, and these stories will help you to know more of God's Word. Now, this is something that I want to begin today. If you'll turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 1, we're going to look at the great Bible story of creation. We will do these stories from time to time. I don't know if we'll do them every week, but I would like to cover from time to time these great Bible stories, and I hope that that will be beneficial and helpful to you. We will read the story, which I think will be good in that a lot of times today, people just simply aren't reading their Bible. They're not familiar with these great Bible stories. So just reading them will help us to know more of God's Word. And then, of course, before we close each program, we'll make some observations and applications for today. And, of course, these great Bible stories have a great many of lessons in them. I certainly won't have time to cover everything that could be said, but I hope that we will say something as we let the Bible speak that will help us to learn the truth of God's Word for us today. Turn back with me this morning to Genesis chapter 1, and let's begin with the great Bible story of creation. You know, we hear so much today about the origins of the universe. Much of it is misguided. Our young people are taught in school, especially in higher education at the college or university level, that we are here simply by naturalistic evolution, by chance and random chaotic chance we are here. And we know that that just simply, not only does it not match up with the Bible, but it doesn't match up with even science. It does not match up with even the truths of science. And so, this morning, let's look at the great Bible story of creation. Do you have your Bible? Open it up to Genesis chapter 1, and let's read that amazing story in the first 31 verses of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was waste and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning one day. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning a second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth put forth grass, herbs yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind, wherein is the seed thereof upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, herbs, yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit, wherein is the seed thereof after their kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, a third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, a fourth day. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moveth, wherewith the waters swarmeth after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, a fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and every thing that creepeth upon the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb yielding seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because that in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. And so we read, friends, for the first time, the great Bible story of creation. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, we're told that by faith we believe that God created all things around us by his word. And so, we read about this great Bible story of creation, how we got here, who we are, made in God's image, where we came from, in the beginning, God, and what we're supposed to be doing while we are here. God told them to be fruitful and replenish the earth and have dominion over the earth. The basic questions of life are answered right here in the very first chapter of your Bible. Let's go back now through the text and learn some great lessons for us today. First of all, we find out the basic truth of where we came from. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's interesting that if you talk with scientists and especially physicists today, they say that there are basic elements in our natural world. One of them is time. We reckon time throughout the day. We have seconds and minutes and hours. Look at verse 1. In the beginning, where time begins. The second thing that physicists talk about in our natural world is cause. The law of cause and effect. If you see things happening in our world, there was some cause for that. Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning, time, God created the heavens and the earth. God. There is a cause. There is a designer behind all design. Somebody says, well, how do you know that God created the world? No one was there. Adam and Eve were not even there yet until the sixth day. How do we know that our universe was created by God and not a random Big Bang explosion? Well, in Hebrews chapter 3, the writer of Hebrews says that every house is built by someone, and he who built all things is God. The writer there uses an argument from design. We know when we walk up on a car that it didn't just randomly happen. Someone designed that. Our cell phone, our laptop, our computer, our TV screen, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other things that we have in our life and our house. We know that it didn't just get there by random chance. Every house is built by someone. It's an argument from design, tracing back to a designer. He who built all things is God. Random chance explosions do not create orderly design. When was the last time you saw an explosion? When you saw a bang, an explosion, and after it finished, it created very intricate design in things around it. Random chaos produces random chaos. Chaos produces more chaos, not orderly design. But we have design in the human body. We have design in the plant kingdom. We have design in the animal kingdom. We have design in our universe. Our earth revolves around the sun in an orderly fashion. Our moon revolves around the earth in an orderly fashion. That did not happen by a Big Bang explosion. It's contrary. Evolution is not only contrary to science, but it's contrary to just common sense. So in the beginning, time, physicists say that there is cause. God. Physicists talk about force. There is force in our natural world. Look at the next word, created. There's your force. Physicists talk about space, the heavens, and then number 5, they talk about physical matter, the earth. In the beginning, time, God, cause, created, force, the heavens, space, and the earth, material matter. Physicists, even if they don't believe in God, talk about the 5 elements of our natural world. And isn't it interesting that they're all mentioned in the very first verse of Genesis chapter 1. It's just a matter of, do we accept the truth or not? Do you know that the natural created world around us shows us God? Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. It's not a matter of a lack of evidence or a lack of proof. It's a matter of not being willing to believe that evidence or that truth. People willingly reject the evidence that is around them. Somebody says, well, great scientists, they don't accept creation. And that's true, and there are many of them. Richard Dawkins is one of the most famous ones today. But it's not because of a lack of evidence. It's because a person does not want to come to the belief in God. Because if he or she does, then that implies that they're going to have to be accountable to God. And they need to know what God's word says. They have to live a certain way. And they don't want that. And I know that because that's what Paul writes, the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, Paul is talking about the wickedness of mankind, the unrighteousness of mankind. And he says there that the wrath of God, Romans 1:18, the wrath of God, whether you believe in God or not, you're going to receive His wrath if we don't live right. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known of God, look at it, it can be known. That which is known of God is manifest in them, for God manifested it unto them. God lets us know that He exists. And He lets us know about His Word so that we cannot claim ignorance when our life is over with and we have to face God. We can know. Now look at verse 20. For the invisible things of Him, God is a spirit. He's invisible. So how can we know that He actually exists? Sometimes people will chide another person, well, you believe in things that you can't see. Well, friend, you do too. Everybody believes in gravity, but you can't see it. Everybody believes in magnetism between two magnets, but you can't see it. What you see is the result of those two forces. There are forces at play that are invisible forces. But you see the results of them acting. And so, yes, God is invisible. But we see Him working in the things that He makes. So, the invisible things of Him, that is, God and His nature and characteristics, since the creation of the world are clearly seen. How can invisible things be clearly seen? That sounds like a contradiction. But it's not. It's just like gravity and magnetism. They are invisible, but they are clearly seen. When you fall off a ladder, you can clearly see that there's such a thing as gravity because you see the effects and results of the person falling to the ground, and if it's hard enough, it's going to hurt you. So, the invisible things of Him, since the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being perceived through, how? The things that are made. Even His everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. We can know that there's a God. How? Every house is built by someone, and He who built all things is God. So, in this great Bible story, we have the creation of the world. And we see the intricate design in our body. The psalmist said in Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. In the book of Job, we read about the hawk that flies in the air. There's intricate design in the animal kingdom. There's intricate design in the plant kingdom. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus talking about the parable of the sower and the parable of the man who went out and planted a seed and he puts it in the ground and he does not know how it grows. A seed has powerful design in it. And we could go on and on. But Paul says in Romans chapter 1 that they refuse this knowledge, people do. Verse 21, because that knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and in their senseless heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, and many unbelieving scientists and others today do profess themselves to be wise. They actually, Paul says, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man and birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts unto uncleanness. That's why people reject the existence of God, not because there's a lack of evidence for him, but because they want to live an unclean life. And then Paul goes on to talk about even homosexuality right after that, and other kinds of sins and uncleanness at the end of that chapter. That's the truth of it. People reject God not because of a lack of evidence, but because they don't want him in their lives so that they can live the way they want. And read the text again. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up unto a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting. They refused to have God in their knowledge. It's not because of a lack of evidence. It's a refusal to have him in their life. Come back with me now to Genesis chapter 1, and let's just hurriedly mention a few other things, and then we'll close this morning. You noticed in the text over and over again, and God said, for example, verse 3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. The powerful word of God, notice that. God just speaks it, and it comes into existence. You and I can't do things like that, but God can. His word is very powerful. And when it comes to his word in changing our lives, Romans 1:16, the gospel is God's power unto salvation. God's powerful spoken word in creation, and God's powerful spoken word that is revealed in Scripture that can save mankind. It's still the same powerful word. But you notice, and God said, and it was so. Just speaking it and immediately coming into existence. Another thing that's important about this text is that each time there is a day of creation, it closes with a morning, an evening, a first day, or a second day, or a third day. These are not long eons of time, like some people try to say, millions and billions of years. These are 24-hour days. And we know that because the language used here, when traced elsewhere in the Old Testament, is for a 24-hour day. Look in your Bible, the idea of morning and evening. Also look in your Bible with regard to the numbers, first, second, third, or 1, 2, and 3. Look that up in your Old Testament. You'll find that it's a reference to 24-hour regular days, just like we have today. This is not billions and billions of years in forming the earth, as we often hear today. Notice another thing in the text, that God is very orderly, that he creates an environment first, and then he fills that environment later. It's very orderly. It's by design. And so the heavens are formed first, the environment, and then the planets are formed and put in that environment. The earth, for example, is formed first, and then the animals and mankind are formed to inhabit the earth. The environment is formed first, and then God fills it. The seas, for example, are formed first, and then God fills them with the fishes and so forth. Notice the orderliness and the design of God. And we come to the New Testament, and we find the same thing with regard to our own personal lives and even the worship service in 1 Corinthians 14. God is a God of order, not a God of confusion. And so His Word orders things, and His Word will order our lives. Our marriages will be orderly. Our home and family life will be orderly. Our society will be orderly if we will follow God's order, God's Word. Our society is running rampant with all kinds of foolishness and wickedness and ungodliness and human wisdom. We've got to get back to the order of God's Word. So, notice His powerful Word. Notice the 24-hour days. Notice the orderliness of creation. Also notice this. This is very important. With regard to the making of the fruit trees, verse 11, 12, 13, and also with regard to making the animals, verse 21, notice that they were to reproduce after their kind. There was no evolution from one species to another species to another species, and then eventually from amoeba, it evolves all the way up to man. That's not how it works. That's how it's taught in the science realm today. But that doesn't even match science, and it doesn't match the facts of what we've seen in the past. What we find is that there is change within kind, but you'll never have change across kinds, where you evolve from the simplest organism all the way up to modern man, and we are the our apes and orangutans and monkeys, they're our ancestors. No, you have in the plant kingdom, you have in the animal kingdom, they are producing after their kind. You'll have varieties of flowers, but flowers won't change into animals. You'll have varieties of animals, but those animals don't change into other animals or change into man. You'll have dogs, all kinds of dogs, but dogs don't ever change into cows. Okay, you've got cats, you've got all kinds of cats. You've got what we would call a domestic house cat all the way up to the lion. There's all kinds of cats in that realm, but you never see cats evolving into into elephants, for example. They just don't do that. And then they especially don't do that evolving into man. So notice that it's within kinds. There's change within kind. And then notice that God made man separately. He did not evolve from animals. On the sixth day, God created man in His image and in His likeness, and mankind is a separate creation. We did not evolve from animals and apes and monkeys and orangutans. We are especially made a new creation, a fresh creation by God, and we're made in His image. We are the only part of God's creation that has the image of God in us. And so we need to remember that. And we'll look at that some more when we get into the next great Bible story of the creation of Adam and Eve and marriage. Lord willing, we'll look at that other great Bible story. But I wanted to close this morning by just simply saying that we need to be created in Christ Jesus. And if we can help you to do that, that's the other creation that God makes. If we can help you to do that, let's get together and study that matter. Thank you for joining us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program.